We're still in with our Tshwane Unplugged team this morning. Great to be joined by Councillor Cindy Bilson, who is the chairperson of Section 79 Community and Social Development Committee. So how it works is Councillor Cindy Bilson is currently serving her second term as a chairperson for Section 79 Community and Social Development Committee. She's obtained her Bachelor of Science in Social Sciences degree from the University of North West and studied her Master's in the University of Zululand. In her experience as a social worker for 28 years, she has worked in different fields across the profession, from corporate occupational social work, program development in correctional services, forensic social work. She's also served in community development, mostly in Heilbrow, with homelessness, poverty alleviation, and mediation in high conflict situations, including wellness in the workplace. Councillor Cindy Bilson was involved in mentorship and corporate wellness at UNISA, where she provided therapy for corporate institutions, and she has also worked at the Family Advocates Office in Pretoria. She's currently a member of the Councillor's Wellness Ambassadors. Councillor Bilson is a family orientated person, of course, goes without saying by her occupation, and highly motivated and a caring individual. She believes that positively touching other people's lives is an investment in her one's own being. Wow. Councillor Bilson, thank you so much for being in studio with me this morning.
Thank you. I didn't recognize myself.
It just goes to show, when you just stop and hear about all the things that you have done for society, for community, making an phenomenal impact in social care as well. It's amazing. 28 years as a social worker. That is definitely a calling, would you say?
Yeah, I'm getting old. My kids will tell you that. They actually often tell me that. But I got involved with UNISA specifically because if you haven't got a heart, you can't do this. And it's not always positive. So you need to go back and breathe and then go back and invest. So, yeah.
And that is exactly what you're doing as your role as the chairperson in Section 79 Community and Social Development Committee in the city of Tshwane. But what exactly does this title mean? It's a big title.
It's very big and I'm still trying to figure it out. The listeners won't know, but I'm really very blunt, and the people in the office will tell you I'm really blunt. However, it says a lot, and actually not a lot, because it means that I have to help structure, because I'm not doing this alone. We have a team of counselors that sit down and have a look and oversight the work that the Department of Social Development does within the city. Now, the department is just not just social development. It also has sports, and it also have arts and culture as well. So it's quite diverse, which is actually very cool. You know, it have different facets of being human. And that's what social development is about, the facets of being a person.
Councillor, you've seen over the years that poverty is apparent to the human eye, and it is profiled in how people live in shacks, homelessness, unemployment, as well as poor infrastructure, lack of access to basic needs. What are the initiatives that have been implemented to reduce poverty in communities within our city of Tshwane?
I think we had this discussion yesterday with a couple of people. It's a holistic approach. So if you say you're looking at social development as a segment, looking at poverty alleviation, you won't be able to do it. So that different other departments involved here, like the health department, like human settlement, all of that plays an enormous role, because you can't just manage one part of a person. So effectively, yes, I can tell you with all the projects the social development is doing, but you can't do it without the other two. You can't. It won't serve the community of Tshwane at all then.
Earlier on, when I introduced who you were as a person to the audience, there was mention that you have been involved in high conflict situations and you would have seen a gender-based violence that has been described also and highlighted by President Cyril Ramaphosa as a pandemic. It's like a disease and it continues to cripple our society. It deprives women and children of their rights to feel safe and to continue in their daily lives without fearing potentially being murdered or assaulted. It is a human rights violation which can lead to psychological trauma on its victims, which you have seen. And what are measures that have been put in place to prevent and eliminate violence against women and against young children in City of Tshwane?
I think I want to take it broader because it's not just women and children. It is all across the border. It's all people. So let's start with that. I think the most important part there is the working relationships with organizations that specialize in this. If we have a look at local government, especially on the level that we are functioning, we are providing NGOs that specializes in this field with the possibility and the mandate and the platform to engage with communities. If we don't provide them with that platform, we're not enabling them to do the job. That's our function. So guys like FAMSA that specifically focuses on mediation and high conflict situations, PUMA that effectively also assists with women specifically then that are abused, that sort of thing is happening. And then there's also programs that specifically the department does with the Department of Social Development Provincial to focus on reach out to people to make them aware that you don't need to be a victim, that you can be empowered and that you're stronger than you think you are.
Councillor Bolson, would you say that those places are being effective, they are receiving that kind of support and enough support from our city?
I actually wanted to start this interview when I thought about all of this to say, no, not enough has been done. And I think the basis of where it should be start is to say, okay, let's just identify who is doing what, you know, because there's so many people doing stuff and they sometimes working against each other. And if we provide the platform for these guys to function, wow. And I'm always having this question in December and November about women empowerment and abuse. And then I normally have it with Aris here and then I say, but it's again, you know, what are we changing in that spectrum? And that's where the change should be. And it's not just in terms of what the city does. It's in terms of what we personally do. And now I'm going to be very nasty. In terms of if I look at what happens to us in a council situation, that's not acceptable. The way that women, people are treated within a council meeting, we are setting the example. So I want to actually say that's where we start. With the leaders of the city, providing an example of how other people should be managed. I think that's the start here.
We also, as women, tend to sometimes point our finger and say it starts with the man, but it actually starts with also the woman. I think it's an equal platform. It's not just you must change and you must do that. It's also for the woman to say enough is enough and it's no longer going to be the way it is going forward. But let's continue on this topic. We're going to continue with a story of hope. We're definitely going to have hope in the story. We're being honest in this Tshwane Unplugged series that we are doing. We are not being got blinkers on and saying, yes, everything is wonderful. Yes, there are some parts where things need a lot of accountability put into place. There's also sections where things are being effective. We continue with our discussion this morning, Tshwane Unplugged series. I'm joined by Councillor Councillor Cindy Bolson, who is chairperson of Section 79, Community and Social Development Committee, asking her some really tough questions. She's being honest and she's bringing us a message of hope. We are seeing accountability in organizations that are on the ground making a difference in communities in the city of Tshwane. When it comes to disability, counsellor. Disability impacts negatively on social relationships and social participation, especially amongst the older generation. Older adults with disabilities have a greater risk at social isolation, and there is an issue that could worsen as they get older and the population ages. How is the city of Tshwane supporting people with disabilities in the communities?
I think we again have to look at the different aspects of the different departments within the city. Again, this is very much a holistic approach, as is everything that social development does. So I think the biggest issue that we are trying to do is awareness. And actually, the Department of Development Planning is our best agent in this matter. Creating spaces that's accessible for people, you know, that sort of thing. Having the bylaws set out to make people aware of what's available. We very much focus in this conversation now on physical disabilities, but we sometimes forget that there is disabilities that you can't see with the naked eye. And the stereotyping specifically in communities is often really bad. And here I'm talking about Alzheimer's, I'm talking about issues like mental health issues, I'm talking about people with autism, I'm speaking about those kinds of things. Because often that can be seen as someone is just difficult. And that has a huge impact on the ability of a family to function. If you have, and I'm going to use Alzheimer's for example, this is not something the city does per se, but they mandated to work with organizations that specifically work with the elderly. And this is not something that's normally just to elderly people. It starts at the age of 40 already. Some people didn't know that, but it starts then already. It can. So having the organization for the aged involved and giving, providing them with a platform to give information out on this and driving it with them helps creating that awareness. So I really want to make it clear that it is not just what you see. It's so much wider than that. And accommodating everyone is extremely important. Everybody's got a voice. It doesn't matter how they look or what their mental abilities are, they have a voice. And that is what we need to build and grow.
Everyone has a voice, vital that people are aware of that. And you mentioned sometimes you cannot see these disabilities. They are unknown and people are not equipped from a general point of view. You need specialists involved to assist in that. And we don't really understand that. You mentioned that there are many aspects, and another aspect in the social aspects of our community is early development, and that is early childhood development that offers a critical window of opportunity to shape the trajectory of one's childhood, that is, and maybe their life also, holistically developing them into building a foundation for their future. And how does the city of Tshwane provide support for early childhood development within these communities?
So the city is currently working on opening 8 of these facilities. There's a probability of 10, but there's 8. I want to go back to what you said on gender-based violence, actually. I had the privilege to have students in my life, and I had to tell them what to do in community development. And I was very angry with when they came to me to say to me that there is a teenage pregnancy. And then I say to them, but is there early childhood development centers? So early childhood development centers don't just provide, and that's what the city is making happen in the city at this stage. They don't just provide a platform for children to grow. It provides a safe space. It provides a space where single women, or men for that matter, are placed in a position to go and look for a job, to ensure that their child is safe while they look for that job. So it's much wider than just these 8 centres that's been developed. You know, it's much wider. And these centres are going to be available for the community at a very low cost, effectively. But that part is very insignificant in a way to me. The other part of providing a family, a community, a mom, the opportunity to look for work, to get dignity, that's important.
Phenomenal. Great to hear that that is going to be in place. At least 8, looking at maybe even 10 of these communities, these support I would say schools, you'd say that, yes, early development, yes, schools.
I just want to add to that. We may be having 8, but we're providing facilities for so many other people or other facilities. So with our group property, and again, I'm talking about a different entity in the city, they provide facilities also for early childhood development. Again, it's not us alone. This is a joint effort.
Joint effort indeed. My last question for you today, Councillor Cindy Wilson, is the following. How can local governments improve the lives of young people?
Yeah, that's an interesting one. I think it is, not dragging is the wrong word here, you know, engaging them specifically in being part of positive growth. You mentioned in my bio that I worked in Johannesburg, and I had the privilege to have 2 universities, which was interesting. I didn't sleep a lot. They're a very noisy bunch. What was great for me was the ability of these young people to invest back. And there was specifically a school in Johannesburg that was for disadvantaged children and for high development children. Those kids were amazing. They went back and they gave math classes to people and that sort of thing. And I'm seeing it here. So there's an organization called Community Hours that specifically runs that and does that and provides the opportunity for young people to do that. Now, we are working together with them to create those activities so young people can invest. And there's nothing better. I think there's nothing better than investing in someone else's life.
100%. I actually went to a function, was a book launch of an organization called Tulips, and they are in varsity and they go back into the communities and they tutor on a weekly basis during the week, also on the weekends, in certain subjects to help these youngsters to go and be better. And you know what the beauty of this function that I went to is? They were instilling hope into these people. They gave them confidence. They said, you can do this. They have walked that road. They've studied in a shack with a candle, with no electricity, and they've got their matric. They got their degree. They've gone on to write books. They've gone on to stand on stages in front of thousands of people, and they're saying back to the youth, you can do it as well.
Sorry, I want to really add to that. We don't realize how important libraries is, because especially students study at UNISA, these students are interesting souls. They may not have electricity. They may not have enough space to study. They may not have internet. But providing a library like the city does provides them with the opportunity to have a safe space where they can study, which is conducive to actually help them conclude their studies. I love libraries, and the city has quite a number of them all over, and I do oversight at these libraries. And when I get there, there's students and there's young people, which is cool. That's what we need.
Fantastic to know that there is support structures in place. I like to always include Dr. Raj Pillay into our discussions on a weekly basis. If this is the first time you're listening to Tshwane Unplugged, Dr. Raj Pillay is Group Head Secretariat of Council in the Office of the Speaker. He is the subject matter of experts in audit, risk and governance. He has worked in both the private and the public sector and has had the privilege of serving 5 mayors and is now the group head, as I mentioned, in the office of the speaker. He's completed his PhD in smart cities. Dr. Raj, I want to ask you, when it comes to youth empowerment programs that are aimed at creating healthier and higher quality life for underprivileged people that are at risk in the youth, how is the youth in the city of Tshwane empowered, and how can you encourage the youth to participate in community activities? You can decide which of those questions you want to answer first.
No, good morning, Bigita, and good morning to your listeners. Thanks again for this opportunity. I think I have a slightly different view, having worked in the private sector and joined public sector some 10, 11 years ago. I think it's an integrated approach. As Cindy has alluded, it's an integrated approach with economic development. If we don't stimulate the economy of Tswane, how are we going to create those jobs for the young entrepreneurs? How do we stimulate, give them hope? And that's what we want to do today, instill hope into the young, the youth who are the future of Tswane as a city, and I think South Africa as a beautiful country. So I would say it's an integrated approach, economic development, social development at the heart of it, and human settlements, housing, together with community safety, who we had last week and we discussed. By creating that safe environment, we then can create economic development. And I would say, and I would encourage our local businesses out there, is adopt a youth. Take one youth. And I want to even challenge you, Bigita. You bring in a youth who wants to be a presenter on radio, and let them come and just be with you for a day or two and learn and grow. It's about imparting those skills and talents to our youth, instilling that hope that they need. Some come from child-headed households. And we are saying, and my view is that Cindy might have another, but I'm looking at it from a financial, economic point of view. We have to create jobs. By creating employment, we create the communities we want. We create education facilities that's affordable. They can go in there, get their internships in the city of Tswane, get their internships in companies. And we're encouraging even the sole traders out there. You can adopt a youth, even if it's for a month, upskill them and leave them after that month with a skill they were much better before joining. So mine is slightly different from looking to the city to give you. I'm encouraging small business as well as big business to partner with the city. And there are youth out there, skilled, highly skilled. We're seeing them coming out. Some want to go into technical schools, boilermakers, artisan programs. And we're saying by giving them that skills, we then equip them to take on the challenges they have. Apart from coming from informal settlements, apart from walking to schools, some, we just had rains. Now there's flash flooding. There are some communities that kids cannot get to school because of flash flooding, and they cannot cross over bridges and those challenges. So we're saying, Bigita, today, and I come with a slightly different view, and I'm saying that as much as the city can do, I believe that we can do much more with our business partnerships that we have.
I like the angle that you've come through with, Dr. Raj Pillay, because it's not, once again, a matter of pointing fingers and saying, you need to do this, local government. Why is this not being done? It's about going back down to the individual and the private sector to say, this is what I can do, this is what I am able to do, and this is the impact that I can have on a social development aspect in my own city. Exactly that. Thank you so much. It's been wonderful to continue the series Tshwane Unplugged with Councillor Cindy Bilson, joined by Dr. Raj Pillay. Just to remind you of today's discussion was all about community and social development.